Every person in this room has a reaction to pressure. What is our first reaction to pressure in life? I would say some of us default to control. We tighten up. We plan. We try to grab control of the situation. Some of us, we default to emotion. We feel everything. And it spills out everywhere into our lives. And then some of us completely shut down. We go silent. We walk around carrying a burden that only we know. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I have done all three of those this week. It is very easy to do those three things, isn't it? But what should be our response when life gets busy, when life gets hard, when pressure comes? What should be our first response? Prayer should be our first response. Prayer. It should be the first breath out of our mouth when things get hard. Prayer. God, please help me, guide me, instruct me, show me. That should be our first response. Not panic, not control, not withdrawal, but prayer. And yet, if we're honest, prayer is often the last thing we do. Because we've got it, right? We're in control. We control all the situations in our lives, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? That is a sarcastic question. We try to fix it. We try to manage it. We try to carry it by ourselves. And when nothing works, we finally say, well, I guess I'll pray about it. That should not be our response, should it, ladies and gentlemen? That's backwards. That's absolutely backwards. Prayer is not the last resort of the believer. I'm going to say that one to you again. Prayer is not the last resort of the believer. Prayer should be the first breath of the believer. Should be our first breath. And ladies and gentlemen, what happens if you stop breathing? You suffocate. And then ultimately what? You die. Right? Breathing is important. Everyone agree with us? Breathing is important. David understood this. Think about David. If you want to talk about somebody with a prayer life, it is David. Read throughout the Psalms and you'll see that he didn't wait to calm down to pray. He prayed when he was afraid. He prayed when he was overwhelmed. He prayed when he was confused. He prayed all the time. He prayed. Jesus prayed constantly. Jesus would withdraw and go pray. One man is described as a man after God's own heart, and the other one is the Son of God. You think prayer is important to God? Ladies and gentlemen, today I'm going to contend with you that it is important to God. And the big idea is that prayer is not the last resort of the believer. I think I've said that three times now. That is the big idea. Today, if you leave, if you have one idea in your mind, is that prayer should never be the last resort. So what is prayer? And what is prayer not? Prayer is communion with God. And it's not a performance. Turn to Matthew 6. Jesus is going to teach his disciples prayer. How to pray. What to pray. And notice the first thing that he says about prayer in Matthew 6 and verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Notice he didn't say, hey, go make a big spectacle of yourselves when you go pray. Let everyone hear what you're praying about. What did he say? Go away. Be still almost. Be in submission alone to God. Because prayer is not about being heard by people. It's about being close to God. It's about being known by God. It's about making our wants and our wishes and our concerns known to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we can impress a room with a great prayer. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching against, about the Pharisees who want to be the spectacle when they pray in the middle of the streets. And Jesus is telling them, no, don't do this. Go to your room. Shut the door and pray. Why? Because God's not moved by volume. He's not moved by vocabulary. What is he moved by, ladies and gentlemen? He's moved by your sincerity. Your sincerity to him. That's what he is moved by. The next thing on what prayer is and what prayer isn't, prayer is dependence, not control. Look down at verse 11, that same chapter. Give us this, our daily bread. Do everyone in this room want to eat today? Does everyone in this room want to go have a meal today? Everyone shake your head yes. But Jesus is teaching, have your reliance on God. God will give you this. God will sustain you. Look nowhere else but to God. That is what he's saying. Your dependence is on God. That's a daily request. Notice that word right before bread. Daily. Not yearly, not emergency only. Daily. Prayer is waking up and saying, God, I need you again today. I need you again. Not, well, next week when I really need you, I'll be there and I'll pray for you. Or I'll pray to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not outgrow dependence on God. I'll say that one to you again. We do not outgrow dependence on God. We prove our maturity through our dependence on God. I would hope that the older people in this room say the older they get, the more easy it is to rely on God. The more easy it is to show that dependence on God. The next thing in what prayer is and what prayer isn't, prayer is alignment, not manipulation. Look at Luke 22 and verse 42. Jesus is praying here. Jesus is praying to God in one of the darkest hours of his earthly life. He's in the garden, and he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Is Jesus trying to manipulate the situation? Or is he trying to draw himself closer in alignment with God? Jesus is showing full faith in God here. Not my will, but yours. Jesus is aligning himself with God the Father's will. Prayer is not convincing God to agree with you. Not convincing God to agree with you. God, in our prayer life, should be shaping us to trust in him. That's what our prayer life should be doing. It should be shaping us to trust in God. The next major point I want to make is, why do we pray? Why do we pray? Why is it so important that we pray, ladies and gentlemen? Well, first, God commands it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Should we stop praying? I'd say no. This is in direct conflict with what God says. We should always be praying. That's not a suggestion. That's a lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a daily event. It's an atmosphere around our lives. Our prayer life has become second nature to us. Next reason, because God invites us to. Think about that. God invites us to pray to him. Look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us then draw with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. Think about that. Let us draw near to God. He's inviting us to draw near to him. And you're not interrupting God when you pray. He's inviting you. You're responding to an invitation. If there's managers in this room, I bet you all of you have an open door policy, right? At any time, you can come talk to me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the best open door policy. It is always available to us. And I guarantee you, we don't take advantage of it enough. It is the best open door policy ever. The throne is never closed. It is always there. The next reason why we should be praying is because God works through it. God works through our prayers. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. James 4:2. Think about that. You don't have it because you haven't asked for it. Does that mean I get to ask for whatever I want? Obviously not. Some things are missing because God, not because God has refused, because we simply haven't asked for it. Prayer is not pointless, ladies and gentlemen. It is how God has chosen to move. It's how God works in our lives, is through our prayers. Does that mean he always answers the way that we want him to? When we want him to? No. But again, it goes back to that dependence that we have on him. The next major point I want us to look at is how we pray. How do we pray? Well, first, we should do it with honesty. We should do it with honesty. God already knows your heart. He already knows what you're asking for. So do it with honesty. David teaches us to pray with emotion. Notice, with emotion, not after emotion. Look at Psalm 56 and verse 3. At Psalm 56, 3, he says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. When I'm afraid, when I'm scared, I put my trust in you. Have you ever been fearful? Was that an emotion? Is being scared an emotion, ladies and gentlemen? Yes. Is David dealing with emotions here? Yes, he is scared. Did David have a lot of reasons in his life to be scared? Yes, absolutely he did. Notice he didn't say, I pray when I stopped being afraid. He says, while I'm afraid, I trust in you. He wasn't dealing with the problem. No, he's like, God, I'm afraid. I need you. And then notice Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Ladies and gentlemen, that sounds a lot like exhaustion. Have you ever been exhausted? Have you ever been tired? You ever been worn out? You ever had the world just beat you down? What is David saying here? Even at the end of the earth where my heart is faint, lead me, God. Guide me. I don't have anything left. I need you. Notice Psalm 13 and verse 1. Psalm 13 verse 1 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Will you forget me forever? That sounds a lot like confusion. And that's a really raw emotion, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? That's raw. Have we ever been confused with the way the world works, why things are happening to us? Absolutely we have. And David goes to God in his confusion. David talks to God the way most of us are afraid to. Why? Why was God acknowledging David as a man after his own heart? He never hid from God. He ran to him. He ran to God constantly. We constantly compared Saul and David in our class. Saul would not consult God. David would consult God. David was always consulting God, going to God in prayer. Faith is not absent of emotions, ladies and gentlemen. Faith is the direction of our emotions. How we direct our emotions show our faith. The next way we should be praying, or how we should be praying with faith. James 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith without doubting. Let him ask in faith without doubting. James 1 and verse 6. Faith is not believing you'll get what you want. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is, ladies and gentlemen. It's believing that God is his, who he says he is. I think all of us in this room believe that. I hope we do. We will not always get what we want when we want it. And then the next way we should be praying is with persistence. We talked about it earlier. Pray without ceasing, right? Notice what Jesus tells his disciples in Luke 18, verse 1. Turn there. We'll read that one together. He says to them, they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Why would Jesus say something like that? Why would Jesus say they ought to always pray and not lose heart? Because some days, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to feel like quitting. You're going to feel like giving up. What can pull you back from it? What does Jesus recommend here? Pray always. Always pray. Always pray. The next way how we should be praying is with scripture-shaped hearts. John 15 and verse 7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish." Again, does that mean we get to ask for that Lamborghini or those $1 million or things like that? No, ladies and gentlemen. Because why? Because our hearts have been shaped by what? Scripture. We wouldn't ask for those things. We would ask for God's will to be done. If we were shaped by Scripture, our prayer starts sounding more and more like God's will. The next main point I want to ask us is, what happens when we pray? What happens? And I want you to think about that God hears the righteous. Psalm 34 and verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry." That's Psalm 34 and verse 15. That's not generic. That's very specific. Who is God's ears toward? The righteous. God's attentive ear is toward the righteous, those standing right in front of him. God responds to the righteous prayer. James 5 verse 16 says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working." Not just any prayer, ladies and gentlemen, but a righteous prayer. Prayer from a life that is walking in repentance and walking in faith. That prayer is powerful. That prayer is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. I know we think, "Oh man, best I can do is pray for you." Great, continue doing it for me, please. Because it's powerful. Please do it. But think about that phrase, "All I can do is pray for you." Awesome. Please continue. We are changed by prayer, ladies and gentlemen. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, "Or being transformed in the same image." We should be growing toward that image of God, right? Toward that image of Christ. Sometimes nothing around us changes immediately, does it, in our prayer life? There's probably been things that some people have been praying for years, and they still don't have that answer, but they're still praying for it. I commend those people. I hope my faith grows like yours. But something in us does. That dependence we talked about earlier. We start realizing more and more how dependent we are on God. And then prayer ultimately reshapes us. Our prayer life will reshape us. And then God acts in wisdom. "All things work together for good for those who believe." Romans 8:28. Does it always work out the way we want it to? No, we've said that over and over again. But it works out for the good. And who's good? Our good or God's good? For the Lord's good. Which we should say is our good too. Remember, guys, he's not just responding. He is working in our prayer life. All right, we've talked about how to pray, why to pray. What are some barriers to our prayer life? What are some barriers? How about busyness? Think about Martha. We've talked about her a lot this year, it seems like. We've talked about her a lot. Luke 10, verse 40. She was distracted with what? Being busy. She was distracted with just being busy. Was she doing anything wrong? Not necessarily, but she was just so busy, she couldn't see Jesus right in front of her. Sometimes it isn't the bad things that distract us. It's just too many things distract us. Guilt. betray. You're looking at, everybody's looking at me, guilt. Why would guilt stop me from praying? Why would that be a barrier? Well, Trey, I'm not worthy of praying to God. Has that come up before in discussion? Yeah. Has that happened in my life before? Yeah. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Does that mean there's no sin in our lives? No. It means that we can still go to our Lord and Savior and pray through Him to our Father for forgiveness. That no matter what we have done while we are living, we have a chance to go to our God in prayer. We talked about that righteous prayer. A righteous prayer of repentance is absolutely a righteous prayer. Does everybody understand what I just said? A righteous prayer of repentance is absolutely a righteous prayer. I can't think of anything more righteous than asking God to forgive us, to show us a new way. What's the last one that we're talking about in barriers is doubt. Doubt can be a barrier for us. Think about that passage we just read back in James. What does he say? Must know with faith that God is. Luke 18:8 says, will he find a faith on earth? He's talking about a judge. He's getting the parables earlier in Luke 18:8. What is he saying? Is he going to find somebody willing to go to him? That's a scary thought, ladies and gentlemen. And delay in answers really believes what we believe. That question we talked about earlier, are we still praying for something for years? Or have we given up on it? Because we think God hasn't heard us. Or are we still praying, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please? Or have we given up? Say, oh, Lord hasn't heard that prayer. That's doubt, ladies and gentlemen. In conclusion, the only thing I want to ask you is, are you breathing? Prayer is not a religious tax. It's spiritual oxygen. David didn't wait until life made sense to pray. He prayed until he was anchored in God. He prayed until he was comforted. He prayed until he knew that God had answered. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And Scripture is clear. The righteous is heard. The righteous are received. The righteous are responded to. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I'll ask you one more question. And this is the question that really matters. If your prayer life disappeared tomorrow, how much of your life would actually change? That's a question I've struggled with for most of this week, ladies and gentlemen. If my prayer life disappeared tomorrow, how much of my life would really change? Because the believer who doesn't pray isn't just quiet. They're suffocating. This lesson is yours. But at the same time, God has answered prayers throughout the ages for salvation. He has sent His Son to this earth. He has lived a life. He has died on the cross for our sins. And we have a response to that. We can come up here and confess that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for our sins. We can repent of our sins. And then we can be washed in the renewing waters of baptism. If you need that, we ask you to come forward. Well, if you've done that in times past and you need prayers now to repent of a sin or to just need prayers, ladies and gentlemen, for the congregation to pray for something for you, make it known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Eternal ages, let this praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong core. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God.